In the news this week, NHS England agrees to review its trans policies following the CAS review. Schools across Devon and Cornwall have been accused of misrepresenting equality law. And a poll reveals the scale of public opposition to the Scottish Government's new hate crime legislation. Hello. NHS England has agreed to review its trans policies for children and adults in light of the CAS review's long-awaited final report. Dr. Hilary Cass found that giving trans drugs to children is based on remarkably weak evidence and urged the NHS to review its use of cross-sex hormones and ensure children receive a holistic assessment of their needs. In a letter seen by the Daily Telegraph, NHS England's John Stewart said it will launch an evidence review and public consultation on cross-sex hormones after it recently allowed 16-year-olds to continue accessing the drugs. Scotland still allows young people to take both puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, but former Tavistock staff governor Dr. David Bell urged the Scottish Government to follow suit. One of the things Cass points out is that the ordinary canons of clinical judgment have been overtaken by gender ideology, and this is continuing in Scotland. Children are still being damaged in plain sight because of ideological capture instead of proper clinical evidence-based work. Schools across Devon and Cornwall are under fire for treating children as if they were the opposite sex without the consent of their parents. According to Protect and Teach, up to 3/4 of 600 school equality and trans policies misrepresent equality law. Anne Darris Trust, which runs 8 primary schools across the region, said schools could agree to withhold a child's LGBTQ+ identity from their parents, and for trips, staff are told to assign accommodation according to gender identity. The policies, some of which were published after the Department for Education's draft guidance in December, ignore the government's reminder that schools must not allow pupils who say they are trans to use toilets and changing rooms of the opposite sex. The Institute's head of education, John Denning, is here to explain more. John, lots of schools appear to be adopting the right approach, but others seem to be ignoring the DfE's guidance. What can be done to counter bad practice in schools?
Well, it's obviously really important that, as well as issuing the guidance, we're still waiting for the final guidance to be issued, but when it's issued, it's critical that there is enforcement, that the Department for Education and the government takes action, that when Ofsted goes into schools, it looks to see if schools are complying with this guidance, that where there are problems and people raise concerns, whether that's parents or teachers, that those concerns are listened to properly, and if necessary, the Secretary of State intervenes to make sure schools are doing what they are being told to do by the guidance.
Thanks, John. A new poll has shown clear public opposition to the Scottish Government's Hate Crime and Public Order Act. In a survey on behalf of the ALBA Party of more than 1,000 Scots, almost half believed the legislation should be ditched, with only 1 in 5 in favour of keeping it. And significantly, almost 1 in 3 SNP voters said they wanted the Act to be abolished. David Threadgold, chairman of the Scottish Police Federation, described the scale of complaints received since the Act was implemented as simply unimaginable. According to Police Scotland, over 7,000 allegations of hate crime were reported in the first week of operation, of which only 240 were logged as hate crimes. The vast majority of reports were made anonymously. And finally, a baby diagnosed with a heart condition in the womb is now flourishing thanks to a pacemaker, all because her mum chose life. Ray Dawson was offered an abortion at 20 weeks gestation after medics said her baby's heart was not pumping blood correctly and that she may not survive. However, the girl's parents decided to go ahead with the pregnancy, and shortly after birth, baby Esme was fitted with a tiny pacemaker. A year and a half later, she is reportedly coming on in leaps and bounds. Mum Ray recalled the awful dilemma. "It was devastating. They offered us a termination as they said she may not survive, but we were determined to give her every chance we could." Esme, who weighed just 5 pounds 2 ounces at birth and was only 7 days old when the device was inserted, is one of the youngest and smallest babies to receive a pacemaker. Well, that's all for this week. For regular updates and information on all of our stories, plus much more, visit our website at christian.org.uk. Until next time, goodbye.